Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2t.org.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to the Buck Brief. It is Trump versus Lindsey Graham on the abortion issue. Let's talk about this. So Trump puts out his position for the election on abortion, and it is that it is a state's issue, or an issue that will be left to the state to determine. Now, I have made it clear, I think, that legally, constitutionally, I think that is the correct decision. Politically, morally, that's where we can start to have, I think, more of a debate or an argument. But Lindsey Graham, to be clear, says essentially, and you know what? I can actually pull it up for you. Lindsey Graham says that he respectfully disagrees with Trump on this issue. And that the pro-life issue was about saving lives, not about geography. Dobbs does not require, this is the actual quote, Dobbs does not require the conclusion legally, and the pro-life movement has always been about the well-being of the unborn child, not geography. So what does Lindsey Graham recommend? If you pass a federal law at 16 weeks, first of all, it shouldn't be a federal law because there's no role for the federal government in abortion. There should not be. And beyond that, the Democrats then will just, the second that they can, they will change the law to make sure that abortion is effectively what it was under the Roe regime. But there's no chance in hell of actually getting anything passed anyway. Right. So you're going to need 60 votes. You're not going to be able to do it with a bare majority in the Senate. So it's a fool's errand to try to pass this federal legislation. And if the federal legislation is not for a national abortion ban, that's, you know, not what's going to, certainly that's never going to go through. I think Lindsey Graham, for anyone who's paying attention, is a grandstander. I think he grandstands for the cameras. I think that he is more of a Fox News contributor than he is a senator in many ways. He spends more time going on Fox shows and making promises that he has no intention of keeping. And, you know, he's also a guy who's never seen a war that he didn't want somebody else to fight in his, you know, in his place. He's not going to go fight any of these wars. So I don't obviously have a lot of respect for Lindsey Graham, but I also on this issue, I don't understand what he thinks. So his preferred position would be for President Trump to do what exactly? What would the move be? Senator Lindsey Graham introduced the Protecting Pain-Capable Unborn Children from Late-Term Abortions Act. Legislation would set a federal minimum protection for unborn children, 15 weeks. But that legalizes abortion for the first 4 months. So you're going to pass a federal law. I want everyone to think about this for a second. You're going to pass a federal law that Trump would sign as a Republican, that Republicans would go along with, that abortion for the first 4 months is okay? That's when a majority of the abortions are occurring anyway, vast majority from what I understand. And that's supposed to be a victory to pass the federal law. All they'll do is change that federal law and they'll start moving how many weeks it is around. But you will effectively have had Republicans declare that abortion most of the time is fine and should be federally protected. That's insane. That is insane. There are some states that have effectively outlawed abortion now. It depends on where you are. And there are others that I think will follow suit in time or will dramatically restrict abortion in real ways just for what Trump says, for example, life of the mother, you know, rape, incest, life of the mother, things like that. So, Lindsey Graham, I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing here, but if you pass a federal law that codifies abortion for all 50 states being legal for the first 16 weeks or 15 weeks of a pregnancy, you're federally codifying abortion. Like, what is he doing? I mean, the one thing for him to say we should have a federal law banning all abortions, to that I'd say, well, that's a consistent, a morally consistent and principled position, no doubt, that everybody knows has absolutely zero chance of becoming the law in this country. No chance at all. Okay, so you can't even get all the Republicans to go along with that. And so the idea that you would be able to get 60 senators, which is what it would require, it's not going to happen. Okay, so that's not what he's advocating for. To say that you should have, you would have, if Trump had done what Lindsey Graham wanted and said, yeah, he wants a 15-week abortion ban, or the line is at 15 weeks. If Trump had done that, you would have two pro-choice presidential candidates to choose from. One just being slightly less pro-choice than the other. That's it. There wouldn't even be a pro-life candidate. At least with what Trump is saying is, look, I want to advocate for life and for protections for babies as much as possible. It's not a federal issue, but states, he's going to encourage states to be as restrictive as they can be under their state constitutions and with the will of the people represented. That to me is a far better position to be in. You know what? This is the thing for the people that want a maximalist position on this issue. I want to know, what do they want Trump to say? Because if the answer is an abortion ban after 15 weeks, that means that most abortions are fine and legal, and Trump would be signing off on that. Federally, the federal government would be guaranteeing your right to an abortion. It would override states that have outlawed abortions. So this is a horrible idea, in every respect. And, you know, it feels a little bit sometimes like the pro-life movement, which I've certainly been a supporter of for 20 some odd years now of my life, and basically as long as I've been an adult, as long as I've really thought about politics. I think the pro-life movement is feeling a little caught off guard by just what's happened in some of these states where people have been able to vote on this, and it has not been going our way. But I think Trump has taken the right position on this politically and legally. And for people to say, well, he should have taken the right position or the perfect position ethically, politics isn't about what's perfect, unfortunately. You know, you save the lives you can. You know, we would never go to war because we kill innocent people. We'd never go to war if we didn't recognize that we would make mistakes and there'd be people who were killed, right? But you do the best you can. There are trade-offs that have to be made. And I think that Trump is making the right trade-off here. That's at least how I see it. And I think it's going to continue to be pretty tense. I think that much is obviously also the case. So with that, my friends, I'm going to be diving. What do I have next year? I don't even, Lindsey Graham. Oh, Sonny Hostin. Is Sonny Hostin the single dumbest person on television? That's a bold thing. That's a big deal to be the dumbest on television. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, more Americans are buying gold than at any time I can think of. Some are even trying to buy it at big box stores like Costco. This is real. A new Gallup poll has Americans saying purchasing gold is a better investment than stocks and bonds. And no surprise, the price of gold is up by about 13%. The price and value of gold is directly connected to world events and has only grown in value over time. One of many reasons why I own gold is part of my financial plan. Holds value over time and it steadily increases. Whether you're contending with regional bank closures in our nation or global instability and conflicts abroad, owning gold will benefit you. I rely on the Oxford Gold Group for my gold and precious metals purchases. Nobody can predict the future, but you can take action today to prepare for it. That's what owning gold and silver can do for you. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now. You may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-G-O-L-D. 833-995-GOLD. So here is The View, which still has millions of people that watch it. I think a couple million people watch it every day. Generally, the level of conversation is remarkably stupid. But here is Sonny Hostin, who I think is supposed to be the smart one at the table, which is pretty funny, or among the smarter ones. Certainly, she has a law degree. It doesn't really say that much about the bar exam, I suppose. But she has a law degree and was a practicing lawyer for a while. So anyway, we had an earthquake recently. And as you know, we had the eclipse. Oh, the eclipse. And here is what she said.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicada.
No.
100 years.
No.
Two different.
No.
Well, this is what I read.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No. Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe. you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists,
or something is returning. Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No, it happens. And the eclipse. They've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
Now, to think that climate change is somehow the cause of the eclipse. Think about how ignorant and incapable of basic thought processes you'd have to be for that. I mean, but this isn't just something that should be dismissed out of hand, because clearly she wants to make it about something that fits within her framework for how she approaches everything, which is, oh my gosh, the evil people, I'm a victim, climate change, they're not stopping climate change, it's causing the eclipse. And ultimately, you can never underestimate the ignorance and the narcissism of these leftist pundit types, because they really suffer overwhelmingly from a series of personality disorders. I mean, the mental health of the left-wing commentariat is not strong. That's very obvious if you pay attention to how anxiety and fear rules their lives all the time. But the idea that there is a effect 1 degree Celsius they may have over the next 50 years or something like that. The climate change folks, 1 degree Celsius. Oh, my gosh. And then that would affect where the sun and the moon are, because, right, the moon blocks out the sun. That's the eclipse. That is completely insane. Right. How would our climate here affect the trajectory of the moon and the sun? Even Joy Behar has to jump in and be like, hold on a second. You're not that stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't just say these things. She jumps in and she's like, well, that has nothing to do with it. So, I mean, maybe Joy Behar is the smart one at the table. I suppose there's that possibility. But once you understand that the climate cult is very much a cult. I mean, that's not a... I'm not just disparaging them with that term. I'm accurately describing them. They deeply believe in this in a religious sense. And it's brilliant for them because it allows them a narrative where they're the hero, where they're saving the world, where anyone who opposes them is a bad person, and they don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. So for a lot of leftists out there, this is a very enticing option to believe in this stuff. Why they'll say things like this, because it's a faith-based tradition, if you will. It's not about science. It's not about reason or logic. And that's how you can think that climate change affected the eclipse. So here on the podcast, I try to cut through the noise, the nonsense, the ulterior motive, so we can uncover the truth that no one else is going to tell you. And that's also what my colleague Mark Chaykin does, but he does it for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years, and across those decades, he invented 3 new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI frenzy. He's calling this a new dawn for U.S. stocks, and Mark predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks for you to buy now. He put everything you need to know in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com. You'll see Mark's favorite AI stocks right now when you go to 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaikin Analytics. We got the eclipse over with. What else did I have? Anything fun to tell you about from the weekend? I've been watching The Crown, and I've got to say, it's very good television, but their clear, the showrunner's clear hostility toward Margaret Thatcher is just so annoying. Obviously, far left-wing politics for the people that are running this, because the only prime ministers, think about this, the only prime ministers in The Crown who are represented in kind of a negative light are Winston Churchill and Margaret Thatcher. The complete idiot, nincompoop, destroy the country's economy, socialist buffoons in between. Although Anthony Eden's conservative, you know, he gets rough stuff too, but of course he's a conservative. But all the other prime ministers that come in between, they're treated like they're great. Oh, they're great. You know, Harold Wilson, oh, he's great. What? What? It's absurd. It's absurd. But beyond that, forget about the fact that they don't really show Margaret Thatcher in a light that I think shows her brilliance and her talent properly. But beside that, I think that the Iron Lady was awesome, obviously. The British royal family is going to be gone in 50 years, maybe less. They're going to scale it down, but you can't have this story tale, this story time fairy tale, with this really loathsome twerp, the current King of England, Charles. It's pathetic. The whole thing is pathetic now. I think it's very obvious to anybody who even briefly investigates it. Plenty of other European countries had monarchies that have kind of faded away into total irrelevance or don't even exist anymore at all. And that's where Britain is heading. It's just an anachronism. They were able to ride the wave of celebrity culture in the 20th century a bit, but the whole thing's going to come apart. That's what I think when I'm watching The Crown. And people love to think about this. Oh, it's like a fairy tale. No, not really. They're just a bunch of narcissistic, spoiled brats. It's not really a fairy tale at all. Not impressed by any of them. Don't like any of them. Think the whole thing is pretty pathetic. It is a great show, though. Very entertaining. I'll give you that. More tomorrow, team. Thanks for hanging out with me. Please, if you are listening to this, subscribe on YouTube and also on Rumble or whichever one you like to watch videos on. We want to grow those numbers because I do put out video of this. And it's a more fun way for me to get to hang out with all of you. So, more coming and shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.